Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, September 1st, 2017. With me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Hey, I'm all here and ready to go. Let's do a podcast.
I love it when someone shoots you up with some caffeine before a show. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am cautiously reapproaching the microphone after John's ecstatic response. So I am happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad that you are here as well. And John's enthusiasm is one of the reasons that I love that we can normalize our audio before we send a show out.
Auphonic to the rescue.
Auphonic to the rescue. Yes, indeed. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and our sponsor is Care.com. They're a company that helps you with all the stuff that goes along with caring for people that are aging in your family. So that's really cool. We'll talk about them soon. But first, it looks like Eddie Q is giving up some responsibility at Apple, or maybe not, because Siri has been reassigned from him to Craig Federighi. And I would love to hear what you guys think about that.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? We've seen things assigned away from Q before.
He was running the App Store, and now he's not.
Yeah, that went to Schiller, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Worried about that at first. I thought, well, right and left here, Eddie's getting relieved responsibilities. But
he's got one big one left on his plate, and I think that one is growing to the point where it's not leaving room for anything else. So there,
I like that explanation.
Right? It's the TV shows, movies, this whole content generation thing. I mean, that's always been Eddie's primary focus, or certainly for the last, you know, decade has been his thing, but it hasn't been a huge focus for Apple. So there have been other things on Eddie's plate as well. Now it seems like that's getting to be a very, very big focus for Apple. And certainly they could have left all of this on Eddie's plate and moved other people underneath him to actually handle it and all of that. In the end, it's all on Tim Cook's plate, right? So yep. It's certainly possible to do that, but if they actually want Eddie to spend his time on this as opposed to simply being responsible for it, then it is important to create that time for him by moving other things that perhaps are better suited. I mean, to be perfectly honest, Siri is probably much better off in the hands of, you know, the software guy. And the App Store needs, you know, it's all about marketing, right, at this point. So why not put it in the hands of the marketing guy, you know, or the marketing team? And so these moves make sense when you start to look at them that way. I don't think this is a poor reflection on Eddie at all. In fact, I think just the opposite. Like they're handing him, or he has, the keys to kind of the new thing that Apple is working on.
Well, you know what I'm hoping for, Dave? I'm hoping that Eddie Q takes this opportunity with 4K to reignite Apple and the TV industry, being less abrasive. There was an article the other day in the Wall Street Journal that I commented on about how they were trying to get the studios to keep the prices down on 4K videos, and that's not going to happen. Studios see that as premium content. It's going to cost premium money.
Right.
If Until Apple 8K were comes to out. Really have a coming out party and, you know, have a beautiful 4K device and, you know, be all over it and support and work with the industry and get agreements with the studios to deliver 4K content at the price the studios want to set, and, you know, start advertising in the right places and show up at the technical shows and CEDIA, for example. They have a chance here to just really ignite the industry and be a leader in the 4K world instead of being a wallflower, as they have been with Apple TV.
Are they a wallflower, or are they still just a bud?
I don't know, but Apple's did a Macintosh ineptitude thing with the Apple TV fourth generation, let it linger too long. Now there's we have signs that there's going to be a new fifth generation on it on September 12th with 4K and HDR and HDR10 and Dolby Vision and probably HLG, which is hybrid log gamma for broadcast HDR. And so here's an opportunity, I think, for Apple to really get us excited again, like we did about the Mac, and say, you know, we're all over 4K and we're going to be a leader and we're going to partner with people and we're going to, you know, sort of pull ourselves out of fourth place in market share and really give Amazon and Google and Chromecast a run for their money. You know, some real edgy competition and energy would be nice. So I hope that's what Eddie Q is going to do.
That would be cool. And so we've hit one aspect of this. The other aspect that I find interesting is Siri. Now that Craig Federighi is going to be at the helm for Apple's voice interface, do you guys anticipate that we're going to see significant changes, or is it just still going to be the course that we're on, which seems like a slow progression of improvements?
That paper that came out the other day, we all talked about the improvements that are being made to Siri behind the scenes. I think they have a really, really strong technical team, and they're doing some really aggressive work with Siri in order to compete with Amazon's smart speaker system. So I think it's just a reassignment of who they report to. I don't think, in my mind, I don't think Craig's going to bring anything extra to the table other than just more attention.
Yeah. Yeah, the scope of Siri has expanded. I don't want to say they're spending more time on it, although they certainly might be, but with it moving from a personal being the thing that is only on your personal devices, your iPhone, your watch, your Mac, to a multi-user device, that's a huge change for voice recognition tech. And we've seen Siri even on the personal devices, right? In the iOS 11 betas, we've seen Siri, you know, sounds better. There's mm-hmm. all kinds of things happening there. So I think it does make sense to move that to Federighi. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Software. Yeah. I mean, that's only software. Well, it's not only software. That's not true. Actually, Siri is the success of Siri is a combination of software paired with hardware that the software knows about. If that makes
the other thing
sense.
That might happen is when you got an executive like Eddie Q, who's very, very busy, when the Siri team comes to him with initiatives or ideas or integration, he may not have the time or the expertise to devote to that and then give them the authority they need to proceed. But with Craig, when the Siri team comes to Craig and Craig's got that sparkling imagination and ideas about integration, he'll say, you know, that's a great idea. Let's do this and then let's do that and then let's do this.
Yeah. I don't know those people well enough to speculate. I will share that when Federighi and Schiller were on Gruber's talk show at WWDC earlier this year, Federighi did point out that Eddie Q is one of the first people to install all the latest betas of everything. He's totally on the bleeding edge with that stuff. So,
you know, to me, that's reassuring.
Because, totally.
Yeah. Because if you have someone at that level that's like, okay, bring it on, load it up on my gear, and I'm just going to use it. I mean,
that's also nice because if Eddie Q has a showstopper with his iPhone and he can't make an important call, and Eddie Q calls up the iOS engineering team, it's going to get fixed tonight.
Yeah, probably a safe bet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm feeling pretty good then about this transition of responsibility, and I'm pretty optimistic about what Apple can do with their entertainment plans and what they are doing with Siri. And I'm excited to see what comes next. All right. And I mentioned we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Care.com. And Care.com, if you're not familiar with them, what they do is they help you find and get the resources that you need for to help with in-home family care. So if you're someone like me that suddenly finds himself in a position where you are taking on a much bigger role in family care for an aging relative, something like this can be like incredibly useful, because instead of having to jump in and just be overwhelmed and not know where to begin or where to find the resources that you need to help your family members, you can go to care.com. And this is exactly what they do. And honestly, after some of the things that have been happening in my world just recently, I'm really glad that I know about care.com now, because this is a service that I am seriously looking at now to see if it's going to be the right fit for the family members that I'm having to take a more active care role with now. And I found also very interesting that we're at a place now where we have, it's like 10,000 baby boomers are hitting retirement age every day. And this is now a group that is either in a position where they might need in-home care, or they're having to take on in-home care responsibilities for their loved ones. And knowing that there's an organization out there, a company that can help make this something that's not overwhelming, I think is absolutely fantastic. So I would love for everyone to check this out. Even if you don't need it today, be prepared, because you never know when this is going to be something that becomes important in your life. So head over to their website, care.com, and go to care.com/TDO. And when you do that, you're going to get a 30% discount off of a premium membership, which is pretty sweet. And if you're in a position where you're having to spend a lot of money to take care of family members, any discount becomes an awesome discount, and 30% is pretty significant. So go check it out, care.com/TDO. And thank you to care.com for being our sponsor today. Okay, so we have time to talk about something else. And John, one of the reasons I wanted you on the show today is because you were getting kind of uptight and worried about macOS High Sierra and Fusion drives. What's up with that?
There's a very good article at Apple Insider dated August 31st that talks about a slight change in Apple's philosophy before the rollout of High Sierra. It used to be that when you install the beta of High Sierra, and still is, that you have the option to go with APFS or not. But as Apple Insider reports, at rollout, that's going to change. SSD and flash users will be automatically, with no choice, upgraded to APFS. On the other hand, it appears that the issues with Fusion drives have not been fixed. So you won't have the option to go to APFS.
All right. And for people that may not be familiar with what John's talking about, Fusion Drive is Apple's brand of a combination of SSD and spinning hard drive that work together as if they're a single drive.
Right. And we knew early on that there was an issue with APF, Apple's new file system, and Fusion drives. And my suspicion was my hope was that it would be fixed by the time High Sierra shipped, but apparently that's not going to be the case, and so those drives will not be upgraded to APFS.
So that's
kind of confusing for the customer. I'm worried about how Apple's going to telegraph this issue.
And maybe that's the answer to my question, because I'm confused why you or anyone would be confused, simply because APFS is built primarily and really sort of only for solid state drives.
Yeah, but I don't think most customers know that, Dave, despite all the articles we've written. I think the vast majority have heard about this new file system, APFS, and they're going to be wondering why they can't upgrade their Fusion Drive to it. I bet. You just watch.
Are they?
You watch.
I mean, here's the thing. Most customers don't even know what HFS Plus is. Okay. And that's older than my children. But my children don't know what HFS Plus. Well, maybe my kids do. But
your kids actually,
it's possible they even they don't, right? So I don't like
the, but they're going to read about the features of APFS, like snapshots, and they're going to want that.
And how, but yeah, I feel like the people that are going to want that are going to bother to learn what it actually is. Here's a good way of saying it. I don't think that there's a Venn diagram where novice user and interested in APFS intersect, because as soon as you are interested in APFS, you are no longer a novice user. Like by definition.
Well, so, what happens is that people get a little bit of knowledge and then they get excited and they read about High Sierra. Yeah. They're in the article that says, you know, why High Sierra is so great and why you should upgrade your Mac now, they're going to read about APFS. And then they're going to go, oh, yeah, I think I'd like to do that. Oh, why can't I?
That's just what you described is us, you know, many decades ago, perhaps different numbers of decades for each of us. I'm not here to judge. but that's how we got started as geeks, right? Is I'm a little bit interested in learning a little bit more about that thing. And so, yeah. Oh, I want to learn about APFS. I'm interested in that. Great. So I'm going to learn about APFS. And then, you know, because we have the internet, it's just this rabbit hole that goes as deep as you want it to go. And so, you know, like, why can't I run APFS on a Fusion Drive? Oh, I see. APFS is this. Huh. Interesting. Maybe I want to split my Fusion Drive and make it, you know, just an SSD and a separate, you know, rotational drive. And now I've learned terms, SSD and rotational drive, right?
You're clearly not a novice when you're tossing those terms.
You're so
around.
Calm and clinical about the process, Dave.
I know there's an excitement, and what I'm skipping over is the inevitable disaster that anyone transitioning from novice to expert, and then even once you're expert, that you continue to cause as you're learning for yourself, right? Mm-hmm. We've all caused those disasters of, oh yeah, this is going to be awesome. And then suddenly it's 5 hours later and you're like, I hate myself for even ever considering this. Right. And that happens. Yeah. That still happens to me all the time. And it's because I'm interested in this stuff. So yeah, people are going to find ways. I think you can shoehorn APFS onto a Fusion Drive even now. I'm sure you can, because there's always a way if you have enough time and enough willpower. But and that will come with its caveats, just like I could shoehorn a Fusion Drive onto my 2011 iMac
is
pre-Fusion Drive. Right?
You're too calm and technical, Dave. You're omitting the fact that there'll be some Venn diagram set of journalists out there who'll say, Apple screwed up. They've got this wonderful new APFS. They've been working on it for years. Guess what? It isn't going to work on your Fusion Drive. Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Grumble, grumble.
So
yeah,
be aware of this. Apple's hosed up. They've let you down.
Yeah.
Don't be those articles.
Sort of thing. Listen, there are times when I tell people, because I believe it, that Apple has let them down. We all inform our audiences based on our knowledge. And if there is, and I'm sure you're right, that there are going to be people out there misinforming, in my opinion, their audiences based on inadequate knowledge. Audiences tend to, you know, gravitate towards the people with whom they resonate. I don't even want to say with people that properly inform them. It's
how about like-minded people?
Like-minded people, right. And so, okay, if you want to continue to hear from those people, then you will, and that's okay. Part of this, the interest therefore makes these topics entertaining at some level. Yes, informative, also entertaining. So there's some level, even for me, like when I'm knee-deep in some disaster where I've, you know, totally foobarred my router and my family's due home in 30 minutes. And by golly, the Wi-Fi's not working. This gets, you know,
more power, Scotty, more power.
That becomes a serious life priority right now.
But there is, even with that, I enjoy that challenge. I enjoy digging in. Again, in the moment, might get a little stressful, but but I do it again, right? It's not like
you keep leaning back into the curveball because this is stuff that interests us.
I make backups. I mean, I've learned how to create, generally, I've learned that I should create some breadcrumbs for myself to get out of whatever scenario I've gotten myself into. Do I do that all the time? No, but you know, there's always a way out. And with things like, I mean, I know to back up all my data and I do back up all my data. I mean, that kind of stuff. Yes, absolutely. But you know, you sometimes create problems for yourself. That's how you learn. So I, you are totally right, John. And I also am totally not worried about it because Apple is not screwing those people. Apple is not letting them down. I know that. I know that HFS Plus is going to work just fine for people for whom APFS is not appropriate. I mean, we had somebody recently say, what do I need to do about my Synology drive or my network attached Drobo? Like, how do I convert that to APFS? And the answer is, You don't. In fact, it's not running HFS Plus either. Those network attached drives just advertise themselves as network available directories, and you save to them, and they manage their own format internally. Right. Unless we're using iSCSI. I know there's people out there getting all wavy armed about that, but unless you're using iSCSI over a network, then what I said is correct. And most people aren't using iSCSI. They're just attached.
Dave, I had this intuition when Hives Fusion drives came out to steer away from them. And I can't help but congratulate myself, cough, to steer away from this complicated technology and go with straight SSDs.
I know we need to
kind of like that purity of thought of having the SSD and not messing with a hybrid drive. I just had this hunch.
No, I'm totally with you. But here's the thing. And I agree. In fact, I agree with you. I still feel that way. All the evidence points against us. Fusion drives have existed for like 5 years, and over at Mac Geek Gab, where we get 100+ questions a week, I think we've had 2 issues with Fusion drives reported to us in 5 years.
Well, the point is the technology works fine. The Fusion drives are great, and they're less expensive.
Right.
But and they were invented before APFS was even on the radar. It's probably.
Yeah, that's true.
So APFS, there's nothing Apple can do except do their best to try to figure it out. And if the technology of the Fusion drive weighs against APFS for all time in the future, that's okay. We'll just deal with it.
Yep.
And a lot of the computers running Fusion drives today are older. And they'll be dropping off the map at some point.
Time heals all.
There you go.
All right. Time kills all drives.
yes, it does. All right. Well, I'm not going to worry about the Fusion APFS issue because, well, first, it doesn't impact me directly at all. But second, it sounds like for most users, it's actually going to be a non-issue because you just won't upgrade to it. And you'll be fine. You'll just carry on like you always have. So I'll rest easy tonight. And we are out of time. So Dave, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
John, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
And thank you to care.com for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, care.com/TDO. Get 30% off a premium membership. And if there's anyone in your life that needs in-home care and you're not prepared to deal with that yourself, go check them out, care.com/TDO. And thank you, listeners. Don't forget, on Monday, it is Labor Day, so we are taking the day off. So we will see you again on Tuesday.